This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Al-Maghrib was one of its kind when it first, at its inception, obviously. And personally, I would always say to the people who comes afterwards, if it wasn't for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, if it wasn't for Allah azza wa jalla's blessing in the first place, and then Al-Maghrib Institute, the scene of the da'wah today would not be the same. Because Al-Maghrib 20 years ago came when things were difficult to navigate through, and even to take a khutbah in a masjid was difficult and hard. Convincing people to come and pay to attend a class that would teach them something about salah and ibadah and ta'ah was like an impossible mission. Besides, there were a lot of difference of opinions among people and preferences of this speaker and that speaker. It was really hard. But subhanAllah, we knew that there was a need. Unfortunately, the masajid were not really fulfilling the need for the people. Our esteemed imams who served in the communities at the time really were not at the level where the people can benefit from to the maximum, or at least push them into the future. But alhamdulillah, Al-Maghrib came as a brilliant idea, is to bring knowledge to the people in a way that they can really understand, they can really relate to, and the whole idea is to excite them about Islamic knowledge, to excite them about being Muslims, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, and I think it succeeded. And that's why, mashallah, people, they say the beauty of Islam through, of course, you know, how you present that, how the classes are represented, how knowledge being, you know, given to the people, alhamdulillah, that the teachers, how carry themselves, you know, when they go to these conferences and programs and so forth. It's just a beautiful experience, alhamdulillah. So I think Al-Maghrib really served the community in America in many, many different ways that people don't really, cannot bring it back again to it. But I personally believe it goes back to the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the vision of Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif at the time, rahimahullah, to bring that knowledge to the people in that fashion. So if you look at communities, obviously, whenever back in the days you would like to introduce knowledge to the people, it's through khutbatul jum'ah, halaqa after Maghrib or Isha and so forth. But at some point, unfortunately, the younger generation were unable to connect and relate to this. So people stopped going to the masjid. Kids stopped going to the masjid. Also, with the invention of the internet and technology and so forth, you know, a lot of people started less and less going to the masjid to seek knowledge. And alhamdulillah, I think what Al-Maghrib did is brought that knowledge back again to the people. So as a result, alhamdulillah, we started exciting people to come back again to their deen, to come back again to the masjid. And one of the things that Al-Maghrib did is making sure that every qabila that we visit, at the time it was called a qabila, which means that a tribe or a group of students, their job is to take that knowledge and give it back again to their own people. Their job was to take the same knowledge, the same classes that we teach, and put it back again to smaller halaqat and programs to go and teach maybe at an MSA, to teach, you know, in their Sunday school, to teach their own community, to teach in their masjid or even khutbah. So as you can see, mashallah, the impact was so great. And then we moved on to the social services. So some of the students, they became also involved in activities that related to feeding the poor and the needy, helping out, you know, during specific events, and sometimes some disasters happen in their community, they would be there, alhamdulillah, to assist and so on. So Al-Maghrib impact was born, of course, as a result of that. So mashallah, I think that Al-Maghrib transformed the communities into a different level. So they're not just passive learners. No, they're active learners and also doers, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, into their communities. Alhamdulillah, I think Al-Maghrib has proved itself to be among the, I would say, the strongholds of traditional knowledge, ilm, and alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, in terms of knowledge and in terms of practice and aqidah. So what we see today as people moving forward into this era, and unfortunately the rise of atheism and people abandoning Islam, and even sometimes with all due respect to many, many other organizations out there and experiences out there, watered down, you know, experience of the knowledge and the ilm, that doesn't necessarily satisfy the thirsty students of knowledge. And I hope Al-Maghrib, inshallah, that will continue to serve that bi'nillah azza wa jal, by providing that knowledge again, the authentic knowledge, the authentic ilm, that will help people, inshallah, strengthen their iman and their stance on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which what we really need today in the ocean of this darkness, unfortunately, and what we see around us of fitan and so on. We need, alhamdulillah, a strong students of knowlede. We need strong believers for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and those who really take that knowledge and again put it back into practice. So what I see, inshallah, that we're going to serve to the next generation, bi'nillahi azza wa jal, and now is the turn of our students to become the teacher of the future, inshallah. I mean, why we should support Al-Maghrib Institute? Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of organizations out there, mashallah, that's teaching and so on. But like I said, you know, Al-Maghrib, It started, of course, with teaching people the basics of the ulum and knowledge. And now, mashallah, we're advancing with the students, bidnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. And mashallah, since we have reached thousands and thousands of students around, not just locally in America, around the globe, alhamdulillah, it's proven itself, fadlahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. The network is great. And those who participate in helping and supporting Al-Maghrib, they're building for themselves, inshallah ta'ala, they're running charity. They put a seed for ilm that is beneficial, that they can, inshallah, take the knowledge, take actually the reward for it. In the dunya, inshallah, and in the akhirah as well too. And if you support Al-Maghrib, hopefully all these students that will come to benefit from your support, inshallah, azza wa jal, will make dua for you. So basically, in summary, when you support Al-Maghrib, you, inshallah, you will get the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمَ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. That when the son of Adam dies, your book of deeds will come to interruption except for three things. The knowledge that you leave behind will be beneficial to people after you leave this world. The running charity that you leave behind that will carry with you, inshallah, that continue to go after you, that people benefit from. And from a righteous person that will come make dua for you, inshallah. So these three things, whether it's sadaqatun jariyah, a running charity that you benefit from, inshallah, or beneficial knowledge, or even someone make dua for you, you will have that when you support, inshallah, the cause of Al-Maghrib Institute. This was many, many years back, actually, more than probably 15 years ago or so. And it was after giving a double weekend class on As-Salah, the Divine Link, Fiqh As-Salah. SubhanAllah, it's one of my favorite classes to teach, really, because it's really about Salah in terms of spirituality, practicality. And it's very, very interactive class, all the way from the beginning to the end. So after 2 weeks of teaching that class, and mashallah, it was at the time, I remember, the largest crowd we ever had for one single class in Al-Maghrib at the time. So alhamdulillah, people, you come, they shake hands with you, take pictures, you know, hugging and so on and so. And after everybody left, as I'm starting collecting my stuff from the podium, I see on my notebook, there was an index card that was left for me. I'm looking at it, and it was sent from, I believe, a sister. So she said in that letter, she goes, 2 weeks ago, when I came to this class, she said, I didn't want to come. Like, my mom forced me to come, she said. And then she said, like, I'm glad that she did. She said, because before I came here, I had so many doubts about Islam, about my deen, about my salah, and so on and so. And attending this class and listening to you and watching, learning what I learned from this class, I just want to assure you that, alhamdulillah, I mean, you restored my faith. And if there's anything you got out of this class, I want to tell you that you've saved somebody from Jahannam, and I want you to be the first to know about that. And honestly, this really gave me goosebumps. I was just looking at that, and I started looking around to see who left this card over here. And that's just one example, I'm telling you, out of actually tens, if not even hundreds of examples that we get from students, subhanAllah, when they send their feedback or a special letter or an email or something like that. And honestly, I don't know if people know that. After every class I used to teach for Al-Maghrib, I asked students to write down their takeaway and their feedback on this class. Like, what do you think about the class? And I used to collect these index cards. At home today, I have a huge box of all these actually index cards. Maybe one day I'm going to go through them, inshallah ta'ala, and just write something about it. SubhanAllah, you probably, maybe one of those students would remember what they wrote. And they will just say, like, that was me 10 years ago. That was me 12 years ago. But overall, the experience, alhamdulillah, has always been great. Has always been great because people, they really enjoyed this, some sort of like a break from the mundane of life and the fast-paced, you know, lifestyle. And they come and they sit down quietly, listen to this class, and enjoying, alhamdulillah, the activities and the programs and the socializing and the brotherhood and sisterhood that they develop in these classes. That's why it was very enjoyable. And when at inception, subhanAllah, people, they were looking for that kind of sense of brotherhood and sisterhood. They used to love to travel. They come from different cities to all the way to another one just to attend one of those classes, and then they develop friendship with the people there, and it becomes, subhanAllah, a friendship for life, brotherhood and sisterhood for life. Like, I remember one of the classes that I taught in New Jersey. It was actually the Code of Law, the history of Islamic law. That was my first class I taught in New Jersey, yes. In Qabila Durba. So, rahimahullah ta'ala, brother Mustafa Khalifa came to pick me up from the airport. That was the first time meeting him, and his beautiful smile and beautiful laughter just like still rings in my ears, subhanAllah. So eventually he picked me up from the airport, and as we were driving, he said, Sheikh, do you mind if we just pick up one brother? He actually flew in from the Bay Area, from California. to come. I said, why? He said, he's coming to attend the class. I said, he's going to come the 2 weekends? Like, he's going to be going back and forth or staying in between? He goes, no, he's going to go back and forth. Wow, that's so much dedication. And remember, this is about maybe 2003, which means, again, 20 years ago. And at the time, man, who's going to be traveling and flying double weekend, leaving his work? And but subhanAllah, we shipped this brother. And his brother came into the car. He sat in the car. And as we were driving, then he asked Mustafa Khalifa, he goes, aren't you going to be picking up the sheikh? So Mustafa, he goes, well, here's the sheikh. He goes, oh, I'm so sorry. At that time, 20 years ago, I didn't have, of course, the pepper and salt that I have in my beard. But and from that time, subhanAllah, we became so close friends. And that's Brother Kamran Habib, who's currently actually living right now in Dubai. But subhanAllah, it was such a moment. And then from there, every time there's a class, Kamran would travel and we go somewhere else. And then he himself, mashallah, became the reason why we opened 2 chapters in California, in the north and in the south as well. As a matter of fact, there were 3 chapters in California at some point, Sacramento, Bay Area, and also in the south. And as you can see, mashallah, one individual can share the khair with so many people. And I'm sure that same story happens with many other volunteers of Al-Maghrib Institute and many, many people we have seen them transform. They come, you know, doubtful about why they should be here in the first place. And at some point, subhanAllah, they become volunteers and they become Amir and Amira. And Tabarak al-Rahman, the khayr that they share with people is will stay with them until the Day of Judgment. May Allah reward them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. What convinced you to join Al-Maghrib? Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, rahimahullah ta'ala. It was an interesting thing, really. When we were in Medina, Sheikh Muhammad was in his second year at the time, and I was in my senior year, I was graduating. So he kept telling me, Sheikh, why don't you come to the U.S.? Wallah, if you go there, people will benefit from you, this and that. I said, look, I'm not sure about going there, but inshallah khair. SubhanAllah, so I didn't go, obviously. 4 years later, after graduation, somehow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to my way, you know, an opportunity to go to the U.S. So I came to the U.S. and I decided to stay, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. But then I was as an imam in El Paso, Texas at the time. So there, looking at the scene of da'wah, and it's not like where you want it to be, and you want to do more, subhanAllah. And that's when I start seeing Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif on the internet coming more often with his posters about his classes, Al-Maghrib Institute, and he had 4 qabilas at the time. 2 in the East Coast, 1 was in New Jersey, and 1 here in Houston, Qabilat Husna. So the 4 cities only. So we had brief communication with each other. And then the year after, that was in 2002. The year after, which 2003, I decided to go and attend Texas Da'wah here in Houston as well too. But I didn't know that he was here. So subhanAllah, I brought my family with me as I was going into the elevator. And then suddenly Sheikh Muhammad comes in. He looks at me, I look at him and says, oh my God, Sheikh Muhammad, oh Sheikh Yasser. He asked me, what are you doing here? I said, well, I brought my family, we're attending Texas Da'wah, inshallah. He goes, you're not speaking? I said, come on, man, I don't even know English yet. Still, I've been here less than 3 years. He goes, no, your English is so good, you're going to speak. I said, give me a break, man. He goes, no, I'm going to introduce you to Sheikh Waleed, inshallah. Sheikh Waleed Bassouni was actually the head of the program. So he introduced it to Sheikh Waleed, and Sheikh Waleed assigned me to talk and gave the history of Islamic law as well, too. And then after that, he goes, Sheikh, I have an idea. I want you to join me with the Maghrib Institute. I said, look, I've been looking at what you're doing, mashallah, and I love it, and I would be honored to do that, but I don't think I'm ready for it. He goes, no, you are. Just do it. And subhanAllah, he pushed me way beyond my comfort zone to excel and expedite learning the English language properly, get into the da'wah scene and stand on the stage and speak in front of microphones and all the stuff and so on. And mashallah, he did an amazing, great job. So for me, why I chose, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought me here for a reason, and Sheikh Muhammad put it right in front of me, and I said, you know what? Bismillah, let's do this. And 20 years later, mashallah, here we are. As a family, one of the things I personally cherished memories and moments with Al-Maghrib is having the family effect, really, in its classes, its programs, and so on. And everything we did, really, we did like a family. And that's why I always mandated, for me at least personally, every time a qabila decides or wants me to teach in a specific weekend that has school break, for example, I insist you have to bring my family with me. So my family visited almost every qabila, and they made friends with almost everybody there, wherever they go. And fast forward many years later, mashallah, my kids cannot see themselves outside of Al-Maghrib realm, really. which is why this 20 years later, when we wanted to come to Ilm Fest, they're all here. They all showed up because for them, they grew up with it. And frankly, I don't know, some people might not know that, but there was a time when I thought that, you know what, I gave my best, alhamdulillah, I think it's time to move on, really. So I was thinking of kind of like maybe, you know, just moving on and leave Al-Maghrib for the younger generation to take over, inshallah, and so on. So my son saw me typing an email. I didn't finish. And then I just kind of like, I was talking about maybe I should actually step down and move on and so on. So I went to the salah and came back again to continue my email, to complete my email. I realized that my son, he opened my laptop and he saw what I was typing. So he actually typed something down there. He goes, that would be a bad idea. So I said, who did that? So he came to me, Omar actually, he came to me, he goes, I did that. I said, why did you write this for? He goes, you can't leave Al-Maghrib. I mean, we grew up with Al-Maghrib, he said, all our life what about around Al-Maghrib itself. So you can do this. Wallahi, I think it's one of the reasons why I just stayed behind and to continue my journey with Al-Maghrib at such, alhamdulillah, advanced stage with the classes and so on. But once again, it really had a great impact on us as a family. That's one thing. Second, I think a lot of friends, my kids, they made a lot of friends with other families as well too. And mashallah, everywhere we go right now, you don't feel a stranger. You have somebody that you can connect with and your family also connect with. Your kids, they send salam to others and then they get salam from other people. So I think it really have that beautiful, beautiful family feel. It's not just an institute. It's not just an institute of knowledge. It's really a community altogether. First thing Sheikh Muhammad wanted me to teach when we were talking about classes, he said, let's teach them. I said, fiqh al-usra, which is family, fiqh and so on. But he didn't like the title, obviously. So he was the one who suggested to say, hey, let's call it the fiqh of love. And it was a very interesting thing. He said, you know what? It's too cheesy, but never mind. We'll do that. So we call it the fiqh of love. And the purpose of that is to teach people how to get married, to understand what marriage is, how it goes, how you go about it, all the technicality of relationship and marriage and so on. That was the purpose of it. But subhanAllah, the impact was remarkable. I'm looking back 20 years later, subhanAllah, at those years. Now I can see that like the splash that a subject like this really did in the field of knowledge and among the youth. Like everybody wanted to attend fiqh of love. Everyone was talking about fiqh of love, subhanAllah, because for them they heard things that they've never heard of before. Stories of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his love life, sallallahu alayhi. Humanizing, of course, the experience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also getting to know how to look for somebody, what you look for, how to make things right, and all these beautiful things, subhanAllah. And mashallah, many years later, obviously, the impact of fiqh of love is that so many students start getting married. And mashallah, many of them, they would have actually stories. They tell me, hey, they found Amir and Amira got married in certain qabila, volunteers among themselves. Or maybe they met at Ilm Fest or Ilm Summit at the time. Actually, they had marriages over there as well too. We had multiple marriages at Ilm Summit, subhanAllah. And it's all beautiful. But then a few years later, they start coming back to me and say, Sheikh, we got married, but we have issues now. What do we do? So we said, okay, we're going to talk about relationships. So we created Love Notes. Love Notes exclusively to teach people how to get married and stay married. Like it's all about making sure that your relationship is, alhamdulillah, is intact and strong and solid. Fast forward a few years later, people, they came back to me and says, alhamdulillah, we got married, we're staying married, mashallah. Now we have kids, we have trouble with that. What do we do now? So we create a new class for them, Protect This House, which is basically it's all about parenting and relationship with your parents and in-laws and families and so on. Like making sure that our kids grow up in a healthy environment, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. So yeah, I mean, just that series of classes, you can see that the social impact in the Muslim community, not just in one qabila, it's in the entire community in America, alhamdulillah, not even beyond. But yeah, we had fun dealing with all these stories. And frankly, the whole concept of teaching people about relationships and becoming a pastoral counselor came from this. Came from all the requests that I got from these students to come and ask, hey, they need some refreshment. And so one of the beautiful stories I remember, I've forgotten which qabila was that, but I think it was somewhere in the East Coast probably. Is that a couple, husband and wife, who at that time they were married about maybe 11 or 13 years. And after attending the class, especially Love Notes, I think, or maybe Hifuq of Love, they came to me, they said, Sheikh, we would like you to witness something. I said, what is it? So we've been married for these years. And after attending this class, now we realize that unfortunately, we never treated each other properly. That our marriage was not done properly. And we would like, with your permission, that you witness our exchange of vows again. Like, all right, this is interesting. So Allah, they stood in front of each other, you know, vowing to each other to treat each other nicely and kindly and bil ma'ruf and with ihsan and so on. It was such a beautiful, sweet moment, subhanAllah, witnessing a husband and wife who'd be married for 11 plus years, you know, with kids even, realizing, you know, I wish I've attended this class many, many, many years back. I would have done an even better job. But alhamdulillah, they took their second chance, mashallah. And I hope inshallah they're doing well today. I think I'm slowing down right now. I think it's time for the younger generation with fresh blood to take over. Our duty right now is really to maintain, inshallah ta'ala, the vision, the spirit, and making sure that inshallah ta'ala will continue in the same direction, bismillah. Specifically like Sheikh Muhammad always wanted to be, and moving it inshallah to the next level, bismillah azza wa jalla. Mashallah, Sheikh Sulaiman Han is doing a great job right now leading that effort, and he's mashallah one of those young blood, alhamdulillah, in the organization. Sheikh Ammar, Sheikh Majid, and others, alhamdulillah, doing a great job, mashallah. One of the things we realize is that even Al-Maghrib Institute is an Islamic school, whether we like it or not. It's an advanced level. It gives people options, gives people choices, different than, of course, you know, dealing with children. You're dealing with adults with Al-Maghrib Institute. I am an educator. I love education. I support education in any form, because I know that educated people can make better decisions. And when we have people, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, with level-headed, alhamdulillah, people who know how to make decisions, it's amazing. The benefit will be for everybody. It's being the longest sitting teacher and instructor for Al-Maghrib Institute. I'm very honored. I'm very pleased, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, to be in this position today. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. And looking back at all those 20 years, mashallah, it was a beautiful journey. I enjoyed every aspect of it. We've done so many things, alhamdulillah, together as communities, as instructors, as staff, and members of the Al-Maghrib community altogether. But the one thing I always cherish is the beautiful memories of the inception of the organization itself, not so many people witnessed. I was the first teacher Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif recruited, rahimahullah ta'ala, who recruited me actually to the organization. And I remember that when we sat together, it was just a simple, you know, kind of room in the hotel, discussing the future of Al-Maghrib. At that time, we were still barely in the late 20s, in our ages. And thinking so big, it was ridiculous even to think that Al-Maghrib would ever come to where we are today, subhanAllah. But I just want to give an idea and give the gratitude first and foremost to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to be part of this organization. And then to Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif for really championing this cause and being the man who led this vision to where we are today, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And then to each and every one of you who are out there watching and listening, don't think that your ideas are small and not worthy of really pursuing. Because if there is a will, there is a way. And we have seen it, we've lived it, and alhamdulillah, 20 years later, we are now reaping the benefit of that hard work. I just want you to be dedicated and be motivated, inshallah, that if you have an idea that you believe is creative and it can better the life of many people in the future, inshallah ta'ala, start working on it today. Because 20 years later, you're probably going to be the one sitting in front of this camera and talking to others to motivate them, inshallah, to do a better job. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, rahimahullah ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in the life of his children and his family and all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.